All right. Mostly good afternoon. Let's begin. So I wanted to cover what I think is an interesting topic. And the truth is, the reason Jeremy reminded me, I think the last year I said we're going to do Tfilas HaDerech. So Mirat Hashem, maybe next week we'll focus on Tfilas HaDerech. We saw that in the Gemara. But it struck me that the Gemara in the Daf has mentioned the concept of medicine on Shabbos a number of times over the last couple of Dapim. So because of that, I figured it's an incredible opportunity to speak a little bit about this topic, which I think is quite fascinating and obviously has incredible contemporary relevance. So in terms of when it comes to the concept of taking medicine on Shabbos, so the Gemara says, number one, again, I'm giving you kind of in the middle of the sugir, Amar Ula, so Ula said, Gezeira mishum schikas samemonim. So why are you not permitted to engage in medicinal healing on Shabbos? The Gemara says it's a gzeira of the decree, lest you come to crush spices. So that's the idea. The way you make medicine is you take herbs. Right, Dr. Elman, if I'm saying anything incorrectly, you're telling me. Right, you crush herbs, you take your mortar and your pestle, you crush the herbs, you go ahead and you make the medicine. That's ultimately, again, how one goes ahead and makes. So therefore, you're supposed to say, remember, what's that play over here? So the issue, of course, is that the concept of grinding herbs is a problem of tochin. One of the lamites melachos, one of the third melachos on Shabbos, is tochin, is grinding. Taking something that is larger and grinding it into something that is smaller is fundamentally problematic. Therefore, the Gemara says, we do not engage in medicinal healing on Shabbos, lest one come to grind herbs in the production of medicine. Rashi says over here in number two, Rashi explains, Gezeira mishum schikas samemonim. So Rashi says, b'midi dirafua gazer abanan. Ultimately, again, when it comes to matters of healing, the rabbis were gozer. Disharis shum rafua asi lemishri schikas samemonim. If we allow you to engage in medicinal healing, you may come to go ahead and grind up the spices. Excuse me. V'hu isura daraisa dahavi tochin. Of course, this is a biblical prohibition of grinding. So Moshe, see, here you have it. One is not permitted, therefore, to engage in medicinal healing on Shabbos, lest one come to go ahead and grind up herbs. And again, the Shulchan Aruch codifies this lahalacha, number three. Mishi yesh lo mechush ba'alma. If someone is not feeling well, mechush ba'alma means I'm just not feeling well. Okay, Baruch, not God forbid, in a state of sakana, not God forbid, in a state of danger or anything terrible. I'm not feeling well. What's the halacha? And a person is able to walk around, and in general, they're feeling okay. One is not permitted to engage in any form of medicinal healing. See, here you have the halacha black and white in the Shulchan Aruch. One does not take medicine or engage in forms of medicinal healing on Shabbos because it's a rabbinic prohibition. Don't engage in medicinal healing, lest you come to grind up the herbs. Now again, if you notice, already in the Shulchan Aruch, he's saying, when is this true? The rabbis only legislated in certain situations. When do they legislate? I guess we'll use the term of mild discomfort. I have a headache. So that's the kind of situation where the Shulchan Aruch would say, the truth is you don't begin to engage in medicinal healing. But let's say, for example, look at the Mishnah Berurah number four. Mechush bama v'hu mischazek. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, de'im kayv le'tuva v'chala kol gufo. If a person was really feeling not well, and his entire body was afflicted, he writes, O shenafal mishkaf, or a person is bedridden, excuse me, under those circumstances, afa pi she'in bo sakana, mutter lasos bishvilo refuah she'in bamalacha. So here you have it. So the Mishnah Berurah kind of quantifies this or qualifies this a little bit and explains, when is this so? This is only with what we'll call, for lack of a better term, like a mild discomfort. A mild discomfort. Person just not feeling so well. So the halacha is you don't take medicine on Shabbos. If a person is really ill as defined that a person would want to lay down in bed because a person just doesn't feel well, in that situation, you're allowed to take medicine. What's the logic behind that position? So the Mishnah Berurah will explain, because the rabbis were only gozer. The rabbis only decreed under certain circumstances. So they said again, if you're generally just not feeling well, discomfort, don't take medicine. More intense as defined, as you feel you need to lie down in bed, then ultimately the rabbinic prohibition does not apply. So we'll say, so I'm sure many of you have heard this concept before. So the truth is, when you think about this concept, the shaila, right, the question that immediately comes to mind is, or not so immediately comes to mind is, remember, here you have Chazal telling us that you don't take medicine on Shabbos. Why? Why? You're going to come to grind the herbs, right? So what's the shaila? We don't do this today, right? In other words, somebody could give... Good. So we have correct. So we have other examples of rabbinic decrees. Correct. So the idea over here is, even if someone were to give me all of the ingredients that go into my Tylenol, I still wouldn't know what to do with it. Right? I still wouldn't know. Again, maybe you could tie in a pharmacist. Maybe a pharmacist does, right? The pharmacist with his mortar and his pestle knows what to do with grinding up the herbs. But the truth is, the common individual has no idea what to do with herbs, crushing them, combining them in order to make medicine. So the shaila is now, clearly, once upon a time, this was not the case. Once upon a time, people did know what they were doing with their herbs, right? People did know what they were doing in the production of medicine. That's why Chazal felt the need to legislate this. But one can make the clear and cogent argument that contemporarily, this does not apply. So I'll show you something interesting. If you take a look at number 5, so this is from the Sefer Nefesh HaRav, Rav Herschel Schachter here quotes from Rabbi Soloveitchik, and he said, we're going to do two pieces by Rav Schachter today. So this is a shorter form of the one we'll do a little bit later. So he says something, he says, Echad meharabanim hamodarniyim. Right? One of the modern rabbis. One of the modern rabbis. I don't know. He remains unnamed. One of the modern rabbis. Hitfis ma'amar bo hishtabeach ba'atzmo heich shukvar hitir labalabayis likach trufas b'shabbos. So this modern rabbi wrote and was very proud of the fact that he permitted his balabas, he permitted his congregant to take medicine on Shabbos. What was his logic for the heter? Now this is actually quite interesting. This actually would be a good topic for a future shir. Api divrei Tosfos in Beya, divrei Maskil Tanan, shekasvud lididan shari litapeach ulurakeid b'Shabbos. The Gemara writes that one is not permitted to clap or to dance on Shabbos. Right? What's the reason for that? So the Gemara says, Shem yitakin kli shir. There's a concern that a person will go ahead and come to go ahead and create an instrument, fix an instrument, fashion an instrument, which is problematic on Shabbos. Sa'aitosis says, but one second, but we do clap and we do dance on Shabbos. So Tosis writes, we are permitted to dance and to clap on Shabbos. Why? So Tosas says something very interesting. Tosas says that the prohibition around clapping and dancing is a historical prohibition. Why? Because once upon a time, people knew how to fashion instruments. And apparently, even the common person knew how to do it. Today, says Tosis, people don't know how to do it. Today, Tosis 1,000 years ago, right? So today, 1,000 years ago, people don't know how to do this. So because people don't know how to do this, therefore, again, Tosis says, it is permitted to go ahead and clap and dance on Shabbos. And therefore, this particular unnamed modern rabbi said, therefore, v'huad din nami halcha b'trufas. That last phrase, huad dinai b'trufas, this also applies by medicine, of course, is not the wording of Tosis. This is the svara, the logic of this unnamed rabbi. So just like Tosis says, that today you're allowed to drink, you're allowed to dance and clap, and we're not concerned that a person is going to come to fashion instrument, because the common person is not proficient in this, therefore, halacha lemaisa, this particular rabbi said, you are also permitted to go ahead and take medicine on Shabbos because the common person does not know how to make medicine out of herbs. Okay. Ube'emes kvar amad hataz adas atosas ha'elu delo kaimalon de davar shebeminyin sarach minyin achar lahatira. So we'll say, here we come to something very interesting, which is a very important piece in understanding the nature of rabbinic law. Whenever the rabbis legislate something, so the way that rabbinic legislation works is that halacha lemaisa, it's what's called a davar shebeminyan. Davar shebeminyan means something that was enacted by a rabbinic body. So in general, when something has been enacted by a rabbinic body, so tzarech minyan achar lahatiro. You need another rabbinic body, which usually the Gemara says has to be at least as great in number and wisdom in order to repeal it. So here Rav Schechter is introducing this concept that ultimately, and I will say this can be pivotally important, that when rabbinic law gets on the books, you can't, even if it got on the books because of a particular reason, even if the reason disappears, the halacha doesn't necessarily disappear. Now, we're going to have to define this a little bit. Are you going to say something? Okay, so we're going to define this concept a little bit more, because we'll see sometimes when the reason disappears, the halacha does disappear, and sometimes when the reason disappears, the halacha doesn't disappear. So we'll see that distinction. But the point that Rabbi Soloveitchik is making, Rabbi Shlomo Rabbi Soloveitchik, is this idea that even if you want to say that the reason the rabbis legislated that you can't take medicine on Shabbos is because you may come to crush the herbs. Crushing the herbs is an av malacha, is one of the 39 malachos on Shabbos, therefore you can't do it. Logic would dictate that once it's a legal reality, even if the reason disappears, the halacha doesn't disappear along with it. Remember, I was like, Judaism is a legal system. So just like any law, we have the same thing in American law. Once a law has been passed, even if it was passed for certain reasons, under certain circumstances, even if those reasons and circumstances change, the law is still on the books. There's a mechanism for appealing, right? There's a mechanism in which you can update law, change law, abrogate law. But just because the reason goes away, the law doesn't go with it. So therefore, again, Rabbi Soloveitchik points out over here, even if you're right, that no one knows how to make their own medicine today, the halacha still applies. The halacha still applies. He goes on and he explains, because of Zichruni, Heich Shaka'as Rabbeinu Azesh Hitler Balabai Shalom, Likach Trufa B'Shabbos V'Yamtiv. So he, and Rabbi Soloveitchik says, when the Rav heard about this particular rabbi, who was apparently a student of Rabbi Soloveitchik, that he was permitting his Balabatim to go out and take medicine, Rabbi Soloveitchik got very upset. He thought that the individual was incorrect and fundamentally wrong. Now it happens to be, there's a lot of discussion about Tosis. So where does Tosis come up with this idea that we could clap and dance just because people don't know how to make instruments anymore? Samir Tzashem, this ultimately again remains to be seen. So that's why we'll have to deal with that Tosis, Samir Tzashem, in a different shir. So here what we have, so let's just follow what we have so far. Right? So number one, what we have is halacha l'maisa, we don't take medicine on Shabbos, says the Gemara, says the Shulchan Aruch, gzeira mishum schikas samimonim. Lest you come to grind up the herbs, grinding up the herbs is an av malacha. Even though, again, one can make the cogent argument, already in times of Tosus, that people aren't doing this anymore, right? They're just not doing this anymore. Nevertheless, davar shav minyan, sarach minyan achar lahatiro. Once it's on the books, made by a rabbinic body, we need another rabbinic body in order to repeal it. Yes?
When the Gemara and Shulchan Aruch says Gzeira, ultimately, don't we say that we try to figure out what the underlying of Gzeira, meaning that for Mefer Shla'alma, that's what they had in mind. But did they have in mind contemporary health situations, medical situations, for example, when somebody is
good. So, Emir Tzashem, that's what we're going to have to see. It's an excellent point. In other words, we've already begun to see that clearly we're not looking at Chazal's prohibition in a blanket fashion, right? We're already qualifying that Chazal were gozer in some circumstances and not in others. So we'll see. Excellent point. We'll see how to apply that contemporarily. So I want to show you two interesting things. Take a look at the Tzitz Eliezer. So the Tzitz Eliezer of Eliezer Waldenberg. So you know the Tzitz Eliezer, which is the number 6. So Tzitz Eliezer is a contemporary posek. He passed away not so long ago. The Tzitz Eliezer was perhaps most well known. Well, he was an outstanding Talmid Chacham in Eretz Yisrael and one of the poskei Adar. But perhaps one of his most well-known piskei halacha is that he permitted a woman to abort a Tay-Sachs pregnancy. He was on record as saying that again, if a woman baby had Tay-Sachs, it was known to be a non-viable, the child will not survive, there's no cure. Ultimately, the Tzitz Eliezer allowed for abortion in those situations. So people used to refer Nebuch, these shilas him from all over the world because he was the posik who allowed it. He has many other fascinating and interesting piskei halacha. He was a very innovative thinker. So here he discusses this idea. Look at it, it's in 6 Aleph. Tzarech liyos eifo hadin bizmaninu, sheyeshnam refuos ke'ila l'sugi machlos, Sha'adam prati lo yuchal b'shem panam lahachinim ala asosam. Dilasug machana kazos she'ein shrufala ki imisuge ha'trufal sha'adam prati lo yuchal b'shem panam lahasosam. Da'azai mutra lo shapir lakachtam b'shabis b'makum tzara b'yoshe'ein sheikhas refor lamachal azos ha'yisig lasam marim. V'im kein lo havizeh b'chtal ha'gzeira. See, here the Tzitzel says something amazing. He explains incredibly that what? That the idea over here is that there are some, he says that there are some refuas, there are some medicines which a private person, an individual, could not put together. So the Tzitzel says, let me take a step back. The Tzitzel says essentially, what were Chazal gozer on? Right? What did their gzeira cover? What did it cover? What would you say? Essentially, it's like home remedies. Home remedies, stuff that you can whip up at home, right? The home remedy, that's what Chazal goes around.
Like essential oils.
I'm sorry?
Like essential oils.
Like essential oils. Is that a joke? I don't know. Good. What's essential oils?
Instead of taking a vaccine.
Good. Right, so something you could go ahead and, right, make at home. That halacha lamai says what Chazal were gozer on. But something that from the beginning is what we would call a maisa uman. Right? Maisa uman means something that only a professional could make. Right? An individual could not make in their house. Chazal were never gozer on that to begin with. Right? That was never part of the gzeira. Therefore, the Tzitz Eliezer says that would appear that more complicated medicines, right? More complicated medicines that we have today, the types of medicines ultimately, again, that's what? The types of medicines that halacha lemaisa would go ahead and require a professional to intervene or a professional to make them up. Halacha lemaisa, that chazal were never goes on. So both say, so this is very dramatic, because what does this do for our contemporary discussion? Right, pretty much what it says is today, I think we could honestly say that what? That all medications, nothing you can't, nobody whips up anything at home. Right? So at the end of the day, it could be, see, what the Tzitzel is trying to point out something very interesting. So just like we saw the Shulchan Aruch said, that the rabbis were only gozer on a specific situation where a person just wasn't feeling well. But if you're really sick, Chazal were never gozer on that you could take medication for. The Tzitzel is saying even further. He's saying Chazal were only gozer on home remedies. Home remedies, things that you could whip up at home. But if it's maisu, if it's professionally made, you can't make it at home. Chazal never legislated against that. That's not included in the gzeira. And therefore, you could take that on Shabbos. So I was like, according to this Tzitz Eliezer, pretty much what he does is, it pretty much says that contemporarily, what's the halacha with medicine on Shabbos? You could take it. Now he goes on, he says something very interesting. Skip down a little bit. Skip down to paragraph Gimel. V'ra'isi b'svarim k'tos ha'shulchan v'v'adi ha'shulchan shal s'chuvas olas noach shedanim gam kim lomar shelo yishayich b'zman hazeh gzera samimonim aval hima donim b'derech klal u'boim aleh mikoach tam debatel hatam. So, we'll see, I'm going to put this on pause just a little bit. Well, naturally, let's analyze this. The Tzitzel Eliezer then says there's something else. In general, Bo said there are two different types of rabbinic prohibitions. Sometimes the rabbis explain the reason for their prohibitions, and sometimes they do not. If they do not, and they just make like a more blanket gezeira, then that gezeira applies under all circumstances, right? Then halacha lemaisa, the gzeira remains, even if, meaning, if the rabbis made a rule, and even though at the end of the day, I know why they made the rule, but the rule or the reason was not explicitly articulated, even if the reason goes away, the rule remains. The Tzitzel Eliezer posits, however, that when the rabbis explicitly tell you their reasons, Yabo say, remember, unlike today, rabbis don't have to explain themselves, right? Right. The rabbi says something, that's it. It doesn't need a whole Rashi and it tells us an explanation. Right? Chadesh aminu kikadem. Right? So, but remember again, in all seriousness, by legislation, Chazal don't have to give you the reason. They don't have to tell us why they're saying something. Remember again, the Torah vests them with the strength and the power to make rules, to introduce halachas, So they don't have to say something. They don't have to tell you why. So the Tzitz Eliezer says something amazing. He says that when the rabbis go out of their way to give you a reason, why are they giving you the reason? Why are they giving you the reason? To tell you that what? That if for some reason, the reason doesn't apply, the halacha doesn't apply either. The only reason they would tell you their logic behind their legislation is so that in the event that the logic no longer applies, the law automatically falls off. And I also understand the incredible chiddush in that. Now, according to Lachak, remember again, in general, when it comes to rabbinic law, can you repeal rabbinic law? You can, but what do you need? Right? You need a rabbinic body of at least the equal size and wisdom as the one who made the law. But say, remember again, we live this all the time. For example, Yom Tov Sheni, right? We keep a second day Yom Tov. Why? Right? We know the calendar is fixed. We used to keep a second day Yom Tov because at the end of the day there was Sveika Deyoma. There's no Sveika Deyoma. There's no doubt anymore about which day is Yom Tov, yet we still keep second day Yom Tov. Why is that? It's very simple. It's a matter of legislation. The rabbis legislated it, so it's on the books. When Mashiach comes, is there going to be Sveika Deyoma outside of Eretz Yisrael? I don't know, but if I was a betting man, I would guess not. There's no need for it. We know exactly what the calendar is, but there's no way to repeal it unless we could convene a rabbinic body of equal size and number than the one who made the Gzeira. The Tzitz Eliezer says, when is that logic true? Only when the rabbis didn't tell you their logic. But if they tell you their reason, then halacha lamaisa, once the reason falls by the wayside, the gzira falls by the wayside, which by the way raises a question with Yom Tov Sheni also, right? So we'll have to say that for a different shir. Yom Tov Sheni, I'm sorry? Kidneys, a lot of these things. So we could, this topic that we're discussing application by medicine, but the truth is, the application of it is in so much rabbinic law. So therefore, the Tzitz Eliezer posits that since the rabbi said we don't want you to take medicine because I'm not even going to come to grind herbs, and the common person, there's no more home remedies anymore that people are doing. Therefore, again, the Tzitz Eliezer says, or the Badi HaShulchan and others explain, that medicine is permitted on Shabbos. So really what you have over here is the Tzitz Eliezer saying two fundamental ideas. Number one is Chazal were only legislated on home remedies. And since today people don't know how to make home remedies, therefore pretty much all medicine falls into the category of Maisa Uman, professionally made items. Therefore there's no Gezerah. Number two is there's the Badi HaShulchan, that in general, medicine is different today. Nobody's making their own medicine. Even if I knew how to make my own medicine, even if I knew how to do it, the truth is, again, I'll just buy a bottle of aspirin. I'm not making my own aspirin. Therefore the Gezerah itself, the reason for the Gezerah no longer applies. But then the Tzitz Eliezer says something very interesting, and I think it's even truer now than perhaps when he wrote it just a few decades ago. Take a look at paragraph Dalet. Ubaofen klali, kasha ladun lahatir bizman hazeh. So the Tzitz Eliezer says, and this is interesting, after he advances two different arguments to permit taking medicine on Shabbos, he says, I think it's difficult to really go ahead and actually permit it on Shabbos. And I'll tell you why, he says. He says, because Kirabu od Rabu Bekarav Ha'edos Shonos Shemishtam Shegam Betrufos Baitios. So does it mean Betrufos Baitios? He says, if we look in our day and age, there actually is a re-emergence of homeopathic medicine and remedies. He said, it's once again become more popular to make your own medication, right? So to speak, right? To use herbs, to grind up herbs, home remedies. And by the way, this is already a number of decades ago, right? But Lamaisa, it's true, even more so today, homeopathic medicine is definitely becoming more popular again. Home remedies definitely becoming more popular again. Sha'arkin osam ba'asmam ba'ofen shekayim shapir tam ha'gzera shal sikha salmanim. So it's amazing. He says, it's the homeopathic people that ruined it for everyone. Mamish, right? So up until, right? So while people were taking regular medicine, so the Tzitz Eliezer says, I can make a cogent argument to say that the gzera doesn't apply. But now Mamish is becoming repopular. It's becoming popular again, right? To go ahead and use home remedies. So because that Tzitz Eliezer says, it's difficult to say that medicine should be mutter on Shabbos. Va'odzos, tahari nostim, trufos, gam ba'afkos. He says there's another issue. He says the truth is some medicines do come in powder form, and you have to constitute them at home. So he says that's also a form of making medicine. So he says not the pshat. He said even, forget about homeopathic remedies, even some regular medicines come in an unfinished form and you have to finish it in your home. As such, again, that would also fall under the category of slikas samimanim. He says, So therefore, it's interesting. After the Tzitz Eliezer advances two strong arguments to say that medicine on Shabbos should be mutter, he ends off by saying, I can't be mutter. And interestingly enough, all because of the repopularization of homeopathic medicine. Yes? No, because what he'll say is now medicines are begedder homemade also. Once you have medicines that are homemade, right? So then, I think what it says, I was thinking it was like this. Once we say that really nobody's making medicines, then we can say the truth is Chazal only legislated against homemade medicine to begin with. Now that people are making homemade medicines again, what are you going to be mechalik? Between homemade medicines and professional medicines? You can't make medicines at home, but you can take professionally made medicines. He seems, even though
if the argument he was making was, when they made it, it wasn't for professionally made medicines, assuming there were both kinds.
Yeah, so that's the historical shail that I don't know. What was, when Chazal legislated, was there only homemade medicine? I mean, I don't know. I have to imagine that there were some form of pharmaceuticals. But I don't know. All I can tell you is he doesn't say that. Right? Which is, I agree with you. It's fascinating because you would still think, fine, homeopathic medicine is usser. But anything I buy in a bottle, right, especially if that's mass produced, should be fine. But at the end of the day, I think it's also, you see a reluctance in the Tzitz Eliezer to go against the Shulchan Aruch. Right, because at the end of the day, this is codified lahalacha in Shulchan Aruch. It's not like it's just the Gemara, so it's codified. So it seems, but amazingly enough, it appears just by reading the tshuva that had there not been the repopularization of homeopathic remedies, it sounds like he would have been matir. Sounds like he would have been matir. So I'll show you something else that's actually quite fun. Yeah, 100%. Yeah, now what I will tell you is the Tzitz Eliezer is really the only one who makes that distinction between this concept of home remedies versus professional remedies. And it's not even abundantly clear exactly where he gets that distinction from. Because the Gemara doesn't make that distinction. The Gemara just says you can't take medicine on Shabbos lest you come to grind herbs. Doesn't make a distinction between if you're doing it, you get it professionally. So I don't know. I have to look in the Tzitz Eliezer again to see exactly where he gleans that concept. But you're right. We do find it in other areas of halacha as well. So I'll just for point of reference, if you take a look on the fourth, the third page of your handout, which is the Xerox copy of the article here, says Simin Yutes. So this is from the Sefer Eretz HaTzvi, which are Herschel Schechter's essays in Halacha. So he says something amazing that he points out over here. So he discusses, let's take a little bit of a look at this. He says, Vihine, by paragraph A, Vine hatanoim asru refuah b'shabbos labari shiyesh lamichush ba'amo. Vitanoim asru refuah. Can't engage in medicinal healing for someone who is healthy, but is just uncomfortable. Is a little bit ill. Remember, we already saw this in the Shulchan Aruch. I would say, to be clear, Chazal were never gozer on someone who is a real chola. If a person is chas shalom, a real chola, not even just a chola sheyesh bo sakana. Obviously, if you're a chola that's in danger, there's not even a question. If you're a chola that's in danger, you're allowed to violate biblical law. Forget about the rabbinic law. But even if a person has a chola sheyesh bo sakana, I'm just really sick. I'm really sick, right? And by the way, definition of really sick is sick. In bed. You're sick enough that you want to be in bed. That's how you define really sick. That's how halacha defines really sick. Did you say tooth? Yeah, so tooth in halacha. Dental emergencies have the din of sakana in halacha also. Correct. So the truth is, there's even a simpler metric. Any time that the pain becomes overwhelming. So for example, person suffers from migraines. Right? Person migraines is Shmir Shabbos, we're gonna see it inside. Shmir Shabbos says you could take medicine for that on Shabbos. Right? Anything, there's a chilik between like there's a certain level of pain that I could deal with and still could function as normal. So that's the area where Chazal were gozer on. The moment that the pain interferes in my activities of daily living and sidelines those activities, that's where it seems to everyone agrees that that's not a problem. We're going to see why this is in just a moment. So if Shechter points us something fascinating here, he says, remember again, this is a throwback a little bit to the Nefesh HaRav that we saw before. So he says, Hinei tiram asru refuah b'shabas labari sheyesh lo michush ba'alma. Gezeira mishum schika samimonim. So some want to say that this gezira doesn't apply anymore. She'ulai yesh lahati refuah b'shabas bizmanenu. Right? Remember again. V'achirim tanu t'mikol mokom havi davar shebeminyan. Suppose I see here the tension over here. On one hand, some want to say the gezira doesn't apply anymore. Why doesn't the gezira apply? Because halacha l'maisa. We said that what? We said that Chazal went ahead and they gave a reason. And whenever the reason doesn't apply, ultimately again the gzeira falls off as well. Others say that again it's a davar shebeminyan. Right? Remember again, this was legislated by a rabbinic body. So because it was legislated by a rabbinic body, it doesn't just fall off, you have to actively repeal it. So look what he writes. This is in such an incredible insight. Ulafit varini yesh lahayir, paragraph B. Delech ora hach gzeira le'esa refuah. Hayatamid ba'akiras davar min haTorah. So if Shechter says something amazing, there is something incredibly unique about the gzeira of not taking medicine. The gzeira against taking medicine abrogates or uproots a biblical obligation. What biblical obligation? We'll say this is incredible. There's a mitzvah oneg. There's a mitzvah oneg Shabbos, right? The mitzvah oneg Shabbos is to enjoy Shabbos. V'achol sheyesh bo eizam michush. So we'll say now, listen to the power of this gzeira. There's a mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. Onik Shabbos says you have to enjoy Shabbos. Everyone knows that if you have a headache, even if it's not the kind of headache that will make me lay down, it takes away from my Shabbos. It definitely takes away from my Shabbos. The him came, yesh liton v'lomar, So let me just say what's happening over here. So if Shechter said, what's the tension? What's the tension amongst the poskim about taking medicine on Shabbos? Here's the tension. On one hand, it's a davar shebeminyan. If it's a davar shebeminyan, it was made by a rabbinic body, therefore what? It remains on the books until a rabbinic body of equal size and wisdom is able to repeal it. On the other hand, you could say, the rabbis gave a reason. And when did the rabbis give a reason? When did they give a reason? Ultimately when? When they want to tell you that their prohibition is, or their legislation is only in effect when the reason applies. But the moment the reason doesn't apply anymore, the gzeira, the decree goes away also. And I will say, let's accept as a premise that the gzeira, the concern for grinding herbs, does not apply anymore. This is the tension. Rav Shechter says so brilliantly, there's no tension. Why did the rabbis give us the reason for their gzeira? Why did they give us the reason? So Shechter quotes the idea that the rabbis have the ability to uproot certain biblical precepts. They have the ability to do so under certain conditions. But if they're going to do so, they have to what? They have to tell you why. They have to tell you why. This is very interesting. If the rabbis want to advance their own laws, add on to something that they could do, they don't have to give a reason. If they want to contravene a biblical law, they must give their reasoning. So if Shechter posits the reason why the rabbis told us why you can't take medicine, because lest you come to grind up herbs, is not because they're teaching us, and if the reason goes away, so does the legislation. The reason they're telling us the reason is why? The reason they're telling us their reason is because they're uprooting biblical law. Because it's a mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. And Oneg Shabbos would say that what? If you have a headache, what do? Take medicine so that you could enjoy your Shabbos. And the rabbis are saying, no, suffer a little bit. It's going to knock down your Oneg Shabbos a little bit. That's why they had to give their law. But it was not in order to tell you that if the reason doesn't apply, that the halacha goes by the wayside. Therefore, Rav Shechter posits that ultimately, again, the gzir of Srika Salmonim, of not taking medicine on Shabbos, still has the status of a Darush Shabbaminyan, which means even if halacha lemaisa, the reason no longer applies, ultimately, again, the halacha does, which then helps us go back a little bit and understand the ruling of the Shulchan Aruch, which is why even though today no one is going ahead and grinding up their own medicine, except maybe the pharmacist, Halacha l'maisa, the rule, the law stays on the books. And we'll say, I'll just close out with two very interesting applications of this halacha. So in one of the footnotes in the Nishmas Avram, he quotes the Rif and the Rush. And the Rif and the Rush are interesting. Because we'll say, if you think about this idea of lest you come to grind, there are so many other things that could lead one to grinding, right? Even certain food preparation could lead one to grinding. So the Rif and the Rush point out something very interesting. They said, Chetam ha-gzera, the reason the rabbis made the gzera ultimately again by medicine was mishum da'adam bohol al rifu aso. When a person isn't feeling well, sometimes they don't think straight. When a person's not feeling, they don't think straight. And because I'm not feeling well, I'm looking to alleviate my pain. I'll do anything to alleviate. I'm not going to think straight. And I may end up doing malach. And I'm about to say, why is this important? Because what this tells us is that according to this approach, taking medicine, what is it, prophylactically, right? A proactive, is that right? Prophylactically, right? Right. That would not fall under the gzera. So for example, if I know that, you know what, I feel a headache coming on. It's not here yet. But I feel, or this happens to people with migraines. People with migraines have certain indicators. It's true, this migraines is not good because even if a person already has a migraine, or a person would be prohibited to take medicine. But let's say a headache. Let's say I know that a headache is coming on. It would appear, according to this logic, one could go ahead and take medicine in advance. Or certainly, again, person takes an aspirin for a heart condition, right, every day. Now, obviously, assuming that it's not going to be a sakana or something, they skip it that day or take it a little bit later, you don't have to. Anything that's done proactively, prophylactically, would be fundamentally permitted even within the scope of the gzera. So we'll say another example of this. What about vitamins? So vitamins is another facet. Using this logic, should you be able to take vitamins? What would you say? But Pashtos, yes. Pashtos says, so this happens in interesting machlokes aposkim. So Shmir Shabbos quotes two opinions. The first thing he says, you shouldn't take vitamins on Shabbos. Others say like this, is very interesting. He says, if you're taking vitamins as a replacement for food, let's say I take vitamin C. I could drink 4 cups of orange juice. I don't want to drink 4 cups of orange juice. So I just take vitamin C. So I'm taking vitamins essentially as a food supplement. See, he posits that as the din of food and not a din of vitamins, which is really actually quite fascinating. Any medication that you're taking over long term, right? A person's on an antibiotic or something. So technically speaking, one is permitted to take that on Shabbos also. Using that logic of the Rif and the Rush, that so much of the gzera was mitoch sha'adam bahul al rifu oso. Because sometimes in the course of not feeling well, I end up doing things that I shouldn't do, just not intentionally, but because I'm just not feeling well. And when you're taking sustained medication regimen, or you're just taking medication every day, or proactively, prophylactically, technically you'd be permitted. So we'll say, to bring it all together, it turns out that halacha l'maisa, there is a gzera against taking medicine on Shabbos because of shchikas samamonim. We saw ultimately again the Tzitz Eliezer who advanced certain ideas that would seem to go ahead and dispense this halacha, say it doesn't apply today anymore. The homeopathic medicine kind of ruined the Tzitz Eliezer, and therefore the gzera is back on the table. We sort of Schechter, who explained that he thinks the tension that people think it doesn't apply is all wrong. You think it doesn't apply because Chazal gave their reason. And wherever there's a reason, once the reason is void, the halacha is void. The Schechter said, no, Chazal had to give the reason for a totally different reason, which is why? Because they're uprooting biblical law of Onik Shabbos. So halacha l'maaseh rabbosai, one ideally should avoid medicine in what we'll call non-acute situation. Definition of acute is nafal mishkav. A person would lay down because you're not feeling well. But I think we could broaden that category. It's not just laying down. It's any time that my not feeling well distracts me from doing anything else. That's in the category of nafal mishkav. If you're in that category, medicine is permitted. Chazal were never gozer on that construct. It's only what we'll call less intense, quote unquote, illness. That's where Chazal said, ultimately, again, you should try to refrain if possible. Things that you take prophylactically, vitamins that are used as food supplements, ultimately are permitted and do not fall under the gzera. Shkoyach.